I did want to look at this sheet briefly. If you get that sheet out and make sure that you have a basic understanding, I believe, and we've—I know we've already been in end times for several weeks now. We've already talked about rapture and so forth, but I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And you can get caught up in this other heresy being taught here and there, but I believe the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be called out of here before any part, before seal number one is open, before any part of the tribulation. And I believe we showed you that in the Bible. Now, I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid of how I'm going to die. And you probably have a little bit of fear yourself in that of, man, when the day comes, how is it going to work? We were on that plane Friday night in Knoxville, and we sat there for about 20 minutes, and the lady kept coming by, and stewardess, and she was counting all the people, and then she'd come back again. She'd count the seats, count the people, and Josh said, "What is she doing?" I said, "Well, she's got to know how many people are there. She's got to know what seats are empty, because if this plane goes down, they need to know that that seat was already empty instead of, well, where is that body? Is it, did it sink?" And I said, she's taking inventory. We sat there a little bit longer, and then one of the other guys came, and he got six or seven guys from the back. He said, "You guys come with me." And of course, if you live through 9/11, you're watching everybody on a plane now. And he said, "You guys come with me." And I asked somebody, I said, "What's the problem?" And they said, "The plane is too heavy." I've never heard that before. They said the rear end is too heavy. Now, I've heard that before, but they said there's too much luggage, so they're putting all these men, they're moving them up to the middle of the plane. Well, I love to fly, but from that moment on, I'm nervous. I thought, we are on a plane about to take off, and they are having to balance out the weight. I'm not kidding. We come into Dallas, and I didn't realize it was so windy Friday night. We come into Dallas. And and you know how those planes hit their brakes and you feel like you're about to drop out of the sky? It's like, whoa, and it pulls back. And then he sped up. It's like, and it, and I thought, oh, dear Lord. They didn't calculate it right. I'm not afraid to fly. I love to fly. But I got nervous. I said, they didn't calculate the fuel. They did all this weight and let's balance, but they didn't realize how much more fuel it was going to take. We're about to fall, and I remember in the 1980s, that flight that crashed right there off of 114 at DFW, and I thought, we're the next. Now, I'm not afraid to fall from 40,000 feet and die because I know I'll never remember it. I am afraid to fall on a plane right there over the runway and slam into, I'd have to crawl over Joshua to get out the door and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know when I'm going to die. I know it's appointed unto man once to die. But it does kind of make me nervous sometimes thinking about how is this going to take place. But I know this, we read through the tribulation period and it is some crazy stuff. And I hate it for those who are not saved, who will have to endure the tribulation period. But I tell you what, I'm fearful of it for them, but I'm not fearful of it for me. Because I do believe the trumpet's going to sound, we're going to be out of here, and this tribulation period is going to take place. So you see there on that chart, it's kind of very simple once you look at it this way. The church age, we're in the church, what's known as the church age or the age of grace right now. We're waiting on the rapture to take place. God's going to take us up out of here. The judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be talking about those. We have been in the judgment seat, but we're going to be back on those in a couple of weeks, and we're going to begin to talk about that. 7-year tribulation period is going to take place here on the earth. And then when we come back in Revelation 19, then is what's known as the Battle of Armageddon. That's when Christ comes back and conquers the Antichrist and conquers the armies of the world and sets up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. We're going to come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years here on earth. When Christ comes back, Satan's going to be bound in chains. And then after that 1,000 years, the Bible says Satan must be loosed for a little season. What's sad about that is the reason he's loosed is even with 1,000 years of peace on earth, there is still going to be a multitude of people who will still reject that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And after all of that, Satan's still going to be able to work up an army against God. God, but they'll be annihilated. They'll never even stand a chance in that final battle there at the end of the 1,000 years. And then is the great white throne judgment. And that's where those without Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. And then we get into eternity, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, you can disagree with me on this if you want. Like I mentioned this morning, and I may say it again tonight, I haven't lived through this period of time yet, neither have you. And so when people say it's going to be this and it's going to be that and it's going to do this, you don't know that for sure. And we talked about this morning of the things in Revelation, and we're not doing a study of Revelation. They're doing that for the Hallmarks class, I believe. We're not doing that here. We're just preaching through the topics of the end times. But it can be spiritualized, it can be figurative, or it can be literal. Now, I take most of Revelation literally, especially the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. I don't believe they're pictures of things. So people will say this, they'll say, well, what that means when it says the birds fly overhead, that means planes. Well, It could mean that. But the people who said that decades ago didn't know we would have drones in 2022. So I just choose to stay away from that, trying to label it all. I know what that is. But I want to show you tonight. We looked at seven seals this morning. We looked at it last week. We reviewed it this morning and did a few other things. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I believe that part of heaven is going to be right back here on earth. There'll be no more seas. I can't picture that, but there'll be no more seas, the Bible says. But I believe John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Will it hover above the earth? Will it sit down on the earth? I don't know, but I believe earth is going to be part of the perfect earth, is going to be part of our eternity. I like to think, and this is just my guessing, but it's not in the Bible, but I like to think we're going to be able to hunt still during forever. And but what happens is you shoot the animal, you take a picture with it, and then it rises again, and there's no death. And so I don't know if it just stuns it or what. And so there won't be any taxidermist doing any work in heaven, because you'll skin an animal that's still alive, Brother Joe. Someone was telling me, maybe it was someone in here telling me the story the other day about they were at a funeral and the pastor said this. This was Grandma up in Arkansas. She said, I was at a funeral the other day, and she said the preacher got up and said this: there won't be any funeral home directors in heaven. And after the funeral, the funeral director went to the preacher and said, I beg to differ with you. And so there will be some taxidermists in heaven, Brother Joe. Hope you make it. I'm with you. But there will not be that kind of work in heaven, all right? Revelation chapter number 8. Let's stand together. We don't have a lot to cover tonight, and so we want to get to it here. It's a very ugly scene, and it's kind of hard to go right back to this. But let me read it to you, and then we'll get started here. Revelation chapter 8, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. I'll do this quickly. I won't do it like I did it this morning. It's hard to get back in this mode of tribulation. It's such an ugly thing. There's nothing funny about any of it. I told the story this morning about, Brother Greg would remember this, when we were in the Corps of Cadets, and we had silver taps on that first Tuesday night, I think it was, of each month, maybe the second Tuesday. And we would go out there as quiet as could be. It was a time to honor all the Aggies that had died that month. And it was quiet as could be. You didn't talk. I mean, you did nothing. And the only thing that interrupted that sound were the taps on the Ross volunteers on their uniforms as they marched in. And the Bible says it's quiet in heaven. And then what they would do is they would play silver taps from the rooftop of that administrative building, and it would break that silence. And then they do the 21-gun salute. It was so quiet that until they did the gunshots, we were so quiet walking up, we didn't disturb the dove that were in the trees. But when they did the gunshots, the dove were, they were everywhere there. That's how quiet we were. And the Bible says these seals have been being opened. It's already horrible on earth during this tribulation period. These seals have been being opened. And we shared all of that in last Sunday morning's message. You could get that online if you missed it. And then the Bible says it's for 30 minutes, it's dead silent until suddenly one pulls up the trumpet, begins to blow that trumpet. And in these next few minutes, you're going to see things that you can't even imagine in your mind that are going to happen on this earth. Thank God we'll be in heaven. Make sure you're certain of that tonight. The Bible says in verse 2, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then look at verse 6, we'll pray and be seated. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd help us to see this final areas, the trumpets and the vials. During this tribulation period, help us, Lord, to be more grateful for our salvation. Help us, Lord, to be more faithful in our soul winning, our witnessing. Lord, someone here tonight doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that they will accept Christ, get it settled tonight, and be able to escape this wrath which is to come. Help us to see this picture tonight, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I just want to jump right in to what's going on here without reviewing those seven seals again. But that seventh seal, when it's open, is when it just is opening up the door to the trumpets being sounded. We had mentioned, and I think it's worth mentioning again, we don't know if these run consecutively or concurrently. In other words, it's a seal and then another seal being opened, then another seal being opened, and then those are done, and then the seventh seal opens up the first trumpet, and then the next trumpet, and the next trumpet. I believe that more than consecutively, I believe they run more concurrently. As you read verses, it looks more like this is going on while this is going on. And when this starts going on, this is still going on. So just chaos and craziness on the earth. All right, so let's look at, and all I could really do with the trumpets and the seals, the trumpets and the vials, is just give you exactly what it says is going to happen. So where with the seals, I could give you a little more information. It looks like that 25%, a quarter of the earth, when those seals are open, they're going to die from pestilence, from war. Even the Bible says even the beast of the field and so forth. We're going to get to a place. All right. So let's think there are 8 billion people on earth today. And let's just take out the idea of all the born again Christians that go to heaven. And let's think that, all right, when the tribulation period hits, there are still 8 billion people here, on earth. And so during those seals, the Bible says that a quarter of those people are going to die. So 2 billion people die. So there are 6 billion people left. And then the Bible tells us during these events that a third of that population is going to die. So that's 2 billion more. So in the big picture, that is half of the world is going to die during the tribulation period. Now, it's worth repeating again this last time while we do tribulation period that I'm coming at it from more, less of a angle of a weatherman and more of an angle of let me give you what the Bible says but we haven't lived through it. The weatherman says it will rain tonight, and then it doesn't rain. The weatherman says it will hit 80 degrees tomorrow, and it hits 65. And I don't know why they act like they just know how it's going to happen. And I think for any preacher to get up and act like I just know exactly, I think that's a mistake, because they're either just reading out of Hal Lindsey's book or Jim Combs' book or someone else's. I love the idea. I love to read those things and see what it could be. But I've already shown you that when someone said 30 years ago, well, those are helicopters, today we could say that's a drone. So I think it's a mistake to say this is exactly what's going to happen. I do take the seals and the trumpets and the vials. I do take them very literally. There is some symbolism in Revelation when you got like horns and eyes and all this stuff going on. Those things are symbolic, and that's for a lesson on Revelation itself. But when it comes to the seals being opened, the trumpet sounding, the vials of God's wrath being poured out, I take these things very literally that this is going to happen here on earth. We saw the verses over in Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 13, and then I think maybe chapter 34, but it talks about the land being soaked with blood, God's sword being soaked with blood, his wrath being poured out upon the earth. We looked there in Isaiah, that Isaiah tells us the reason for the tribulation, and one is because of the wickedness and the evil of man. Two is because of the pride of man. God's dealing with that. Three is because of the world's treatment of Israel, the controversy of Zion. So, friend, as the preacher, the old-time preacher preached, sinners in the hand of an angry God. And, buddy, God is long-suffering, and he wants people to be saved. But when the rapture occurs, it's over with. And while we've shown it already, but while there'll still be some that get saved during the tribulation, those who have never heard a clear-cut gospel witness, there will be some that will be saved. There'll still be very few. It does say multitudes out of every nation and every tongue and so forth. But in comparison to the world's population, I still believe it's going to be very few even then that find it. And they're going to live through tribulation. They're going to have to deny the mark of the beast. All of these things we've covered over the last few weeks. But those seals will begin to be open. And now I want you to see the trumpets. And I want you to see the vials. Look at chapter 8 there, Revelation chapter 8. In verse number 7, and I'm just going to give you the very best picture that I can give you here on each of these. The Bible says in verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, I think a lot of this just flat out tells us what's going to happen. Now, I don't think it's like, oh, fire mixed with blood, oh, that's a missile. I think hell and fire, didn't that happen in Exodus? Hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And so the first trumpet, the third part of trees, was burned up. I'm for taking care of the earth. I'm for not throwing your trash out all over the place. I'm for those things. But I tell you what, the tree huggers, the global warming crowd, they're going to need therapy during this time. Third part of the trees was burned up. Look at this. And all. You believe the Bible? Well, all, you know, I think that all is a picture of a third part. No, it said all. All green grass was burnt up. So trumpet number one sounds. You know what's affected? Vegetation is affected. It's getting uglier. Verse 8, trumpet number 2. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. That's the phrase I used for that great mountain falling into the sea. That's the phrase I used this morning when I said, you do your study and you have to decide. None of us have lived through this, but you have to decide, do you spiritualize that? Is it figurative or is it literal? To spiritualize it, we'll say, well, that big mountain falling into the sea is a government crumbling on the sea of humanity. To say that that's figurative would say that is a picture of a great bomb falling into the sea. To take it literally is there's literally something like a great mountain burning with fire that's cast into the sea. And I take it literally. Maybe it's an asteroid. Maybe I don't know, but I'm not going to say, oh, that's a nuclear weapon right there, and Putin's got his finger on the button. Maybe it is. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I think the Sunday night crowd needs to know it too. At the end of the day, this has nothing to do with our day-to-day Christian living. Whether or not that's a government crumbling, whether or not that's a bomb being dropped. And thank the Lord, we're out of here either way. All right, but trumpet number 2 sounds and oceans are affected. So you have a third part of the trees. All green grass now is burned up. Now you have a third part of the ocean that's turned to blood. Trumpet number 3. Trumpet number 3. We find it in verse number 10. I didn't read enough in verse 8 and 9. Verse 9, this is that second trumpet when that great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, that's a big old ocean. We're going to go to Cameron's wedding here in 6 weeks in Hawaii. And you look on the map, you think, well, it's just right over there. But man, going 500 miles an hour, it still takes you like 5 or 6 hours to get there. And that's not even halfway across the ocean to get over to Alaska, brother, to Australia. My brain is fried today. Brother Greg and I went to Australia. We sang at the Sydney Opera House, if y'all ever want to look that up online. And actually, we didn't. We sang outside. We have a picture of it. But oh, my goodness, that was like a 15 or 16-hour flight. It's a big old world. And whatever lands in that ocean, a third part of the ship's all over. So I'm thinking in my mind, it is fun to think, you know, what it might. I'm thinking in my mind, well, that's probably a tsunami. That's probably a tsunami is what that is. The volcano that happened over in Tonga. and sent those waves, sent those waves around the world, and they didn't show up for several hours in some place. It's amazing how big this world is. And the Bible says that when that second angel blows that trumpet, third part of the trees, all green grass, the second angel here, the third part of the sea became blood, third part of the creatures which were in the sea died, third part of the ships were destroyed. That's a whole lot of messing up going on right there. Not to mention the smell of a third part of sea creatures dying and floating up on the beaches. So trumpet number one sounds vegetation is affected. Trumpet number two sounds oceans are affected. Trumpet number three, verse 10. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers. So we can say that's not a lamp that fell, because it said as it were a lamp. Fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star, so it tells us what that was that fell there. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Vegetation is affected. Oceans have been affected. Now the third trumpet sounding, fresh water is affected. Trumpet number four, verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, and beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. That's been ugly so far, but now he's saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Vegetation is affected. Oceans are affected. Fresh water is affected. Now the fourth trumpet sounds and the atmosphere is affected. Look at verse number 9, because now mankind is affected. Horrible. Chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This is speaking of Satan. We don't understand it all, but Satan still has access to God right now in this day and age. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. You believe the Bible, don't you? One day that death and hell are going to be cast in a lake of fire, and maybe that is out in the middle of nowhere. They shall be cast into outer darkness. But right now, I believe hell, the hell today is in the center of the earth. The Bible says he opens up that bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. How many of you have ever been stung by a scorpion before? Walked into my kitchen one night, walked to the refrigerator. I was just going to pray, but I walked to the refrigerator. Middle of the night, I stepped on something. I'm telling you what, it felt like glass going through my foot. It was a scorpion. And it was commanding them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So we know from Revelation 7, those that have the seal of God in their foreheads, that's 144,000 Jewish evangelist witnesses. God said, leave them alone. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. These horrible beasts that have come out of hell, these locust-like, scorpion-like creatures, and their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days, see, during the seals, we've already seen where men will cry out for death, cry out for the rocks to fall in on them. Now the Bible says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. In the intro to the tribulation period, we ran through that verse as I was giving you pictures of the tribulation period. We ran through that verse, but now we're in the middle of it here. And I don't know, but to me that says that someone could jump off a building because they just want out of here. Remember 9/11, they're jumping out of the towers? To me, that's telling me that they still will not die. They will seek death. And death shall flee from them. And look at this, verse 7, just an ugly thing. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were. You see, there's maybe some symbolism involved there. Were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. Wow, is there a difference between man's hairdo and a lady's hairdo? Is that what the Bible just said? Another message, another day. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. Hey, you believe all your stinking stupid Disney movies. Can you not believe the Bible when it starts giving you some crazy picture? They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, Satan, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That means destroyer. One woe is past. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So he says there, now you got these crazy creatures coming out of hell. Parents, there may be some bedtime conversations tonight, but you got these crazy creatures coming up out of hell. I don't mean to laugh. This is a serious thing going on here on earth. And they're saying, it's almost like they're saying, but still you ain't seen nothing yet. Trumpet 1, vegetation is affected. Trumpet 2, oceans affected. Trumpet 3, freshwater affected. Trumpet 4, atmosphere affected. Trumpet 5, mankind is affected. Trumpet 6 is going to tell us that horrible wars continue here on the earth. Chapter 9 and verse 13, the sixth angel sounded and heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. There's that, maybe another 2 billion. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. Verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed by fire, by smoke, by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and their tails were like unto serpents. I'm telling you, just what it is just some absolute, unbelievable, godless wickedness, vile, just the most horrible of creatures showing up here on this earth during the tribulation period, when these trumpets start sounding. These men go through all of this, women, boys and girls, these people go through all of this, and yet we come to verse 20. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Good night, how godless do you have to be, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver with brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. Trumpet number 7 is found in chapter 11. We talked about first part of chapter 11. We talked about the two witnesses this morning. But trumpet number 7 sounds. What trumpet number 7 is going to do, it's going to usher in the millennial kingdom. It's going to usher in the 1,000-year reign. What does that tell us automatically? That tells us that even though we're going to look at this and then go to the vials being poured out, before trumpet 7 can sound, the vials have to have already been poured out. Because the Bible says there in verse 15, chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Man, that's wonderful, isn't it? And of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Chapter 10 and verse number 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Trumpet 1 sounds, vegetation is affected. Trumpet 2, oceans affected. Trumpet 3, fresh water affected. Trumpet 4, atmosphere affected. Trumpet 5, mankind affected. Trumpet 6, those horrible wars will continue. Trumpet 7 will usher in the millennial kingdom. And you think, boy, it's finally done. No, because before trumpet 7, you have to have the vials poured out. Now it gets to, now those animals and those beasts and those things, now we're like, oh man, that's weird. But you could still kind of picture anything. What could come up out of hell if the door to hell was opened? But I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 16 before we're done tonight. Because when we get into chapter 16, you pretty much will read down through here and say, I don't even see how that could happen. But it's in the Bible, it's going to happen. Revelation chapter number 16, verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the love of God. This crazy crowd today, don't judge. Well, okay, whatever you think, but the great judge of the earth is going to judge this earth one day. It says, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Vial number one is poured out. And some terrible disease happens on all of those that took the mark of the beast. Look at verse 2. The first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a very noisome. The word noisome means disgusting. It means smelly. I'll be honest with you. When I read noisome there, and I know I probably was spelling it wrong, but when I read noisome years ago, I was thinking loud, you know, noisome. You're noisome loud. It does as well sometimes take a dictionary. As you look things up, the word noisome there means disgusting, smelly. The first vial was poured out, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. It says the men that took the mark of the beast. That tells me everyone winds up with this, whatever this horrible disease is. It's terrible. It's painful. It stinks. Now that the people of the earth, the stench, the noisome, the second angel sounds. Here's where you start saying, well, good grief, I can't picture that. All the seas, it was a third part with the trumpets. Now all the seas and all the oceans completely turned to blood. Look at verse number 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Here's where we get to vial 3, and you say, that can't even happen. I don't know the timing. I don't know. I just know if it's in the Bible, if it's in God's word, that settles it. Because when vial 3 is poured out, all the clean drinking water is turned to blood. Look at verse 4. And boy, I don't mean to say this in an ugly way, but the last phrase is kind of like, yeah, those of you that have thumbed your nose at God forever, you're worthy about what you're about to get. Look at it here, verse 16, verse 4. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. And they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. It's like during that tribulation, God saying, I gave you your chance to be saved. Kind of puts a different perspective on knocking on someone's door and they're mean and they're rude to you. But if they just understood what they're going to go through, if they were to live at the time of the rapture and the tribulation period. Vial number 3, clean drinking water turned to blood. Vial number 4, again, it gets to that place where it's like, man, this is not just a sunburn. This is not just, you know, maybe you got a little burn from when you're out snow skiing, or maybe you're out on a lake somewhere and you got vial number 4, look how hot the sun's going to get. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Have you ever, I couldn't tell you the study. Some of you in here could. I've done it before, but I couldn't tell you the facts about it. But have you ever read how that if the sun was just this much closer to earth, we'd all burn up? If it was just that much further from earth, it would all freeze and turn to ice? We have a God who's in charge. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. Forgive me, but that phrase right there just makes me want to say, hey, stupid. They're blaspheming the very name of God that has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Vial number 5 has an effect on the Antichrist, verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Look at vial number six. Vial number six now is getting us prepared for Revelation 19. It's getting us prepared for the battle of Armageddon when Christ comes back. Vial number six, chapter 16, verse number 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And we'll see that in the next couple of weeks. I had the great privilege of being there. I have seen this place. I've seen this valley. I've seen where this battle is going to take place. I was there years ago. Vial number seven is poured out. Vial number seven summarizes chapters 17, 18, and 19. When God judges the Catholic Church, when he judges the Antichrist, the one world government in Babylon, it all comes crashing down. Vial number seven. Verse number 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Imagine that. There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Don't miss this. There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's about 75 pounds. Well, they got right then, didn't they? And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. I can't explain it all. I can't even do justice to drawing the picture of the seals and the trumpets and the vial. Neither can you, and I don't believe anybody can. There are some great prophetical preachers. You can see some on TV. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. But there are some that even though they may be off on other things, they've got some they line up right on prophecy, and boy, they can do some justice to it. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen enough, I've studied enough, I've read enough, I've told you enough that we'll just hit an altar tonight and say, "Thank you, Lord, for a pre-tribulation rapture of the church." If you don't have your salvation settled, get it settled tonight. But this being a Sunday night and an abnormal message for me to preach, I'll be honest with you, you know, I joke about having ADD. I've never been diagnosed. Wouldn't take the pills if I did, but I have ADD, ADHD, high definition. So when I get in a series, I start getting antsy for something else. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ready to get back to just preaching, you know, the message of the week, that morning or that night or whatever. I wanna finish this series, and the more positive things are coming up with a 1,000-year reign. How is that gonna work? And heaven itself and so forth. I'm glad to be done with the tribulation period, but since God laid it on my heart to finish this area tonight, I would say in order to give us as Christians maybe some a challenge to leave with, and not just, "Great, now we got to go home and have a chat with the kids." To give us a challenge to leave with, I would say this. This ought to motivate every one of us. If the Bible did for us, if a passage on tribulation did for us what it ought to do for us, then it ought to be that they have to open the office tonight to get more tracts out before we leave. Because we're out, preacher, at the table. We're out, preacher, at the track rack. We need more tracts. But unfortunately, we're in this Laodicean age. "Oh, well, that was good." Can't tell you how many times, and Brother Anderson, you've done the same thing. I'll be preaching a message on hell. And I mean, it'll be thick like it is right now. somebody will get up and take a kid to the restroom. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And unfortunately, as Christians, sometimes like, well, tribulation, not my business. But it's okay for your grandkid to go through that. Not my problem. It's okay for your coworkers to go through that. We have to at least, like Ezekiel said, we got to at least give them a fighting chance, or their blood's going to be on our hand. May it challenge us tonight to be a better witness for the Lord.